This is a HeadGum Podcast.
My only motive right now, like the only way I'm getting through the day is just to be like, everything sucks and that's okay.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam.
Welcome to Punch Up the Jam. This is Miel, and this is the show, now done from my living room through a laptop. And when I cannot see my guest, Andrew, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can also see you, by the way. I don't know. You can't see me, but I can see you.
Emotionally, like Jake Sully, like Avatar?
Yeah.
I see you, Jake Sully. Okay, let me give you a real introduction. Are you ready?
Yes.
You know him as a comedian, or maybe from his podcast, but outside, it's Andrew Michaud!
This is the most excitement I've had in a very long time.
That's what I'm here for. That's why I was like, should I stop doing the podcast? Is this disrespectful? And I was like, no, I think people need this.
We need this energy right now. I don't think anyone in our lives is bringing 10% of what you just brought. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I honestly think a lifetime of pretending everything's fine has specifically equipped me for this moment in history.
So the world has just caught up to your internal feelings all the time.
You kid, but correct. Thank Got you it. So much for doing this very weird future episode of the podcast where I'm going to today try to make better smooth, which, by the way, the full title, Smooth featuring Rob Thomas by Santana.
Yeah, you know, everyone's got to get their credit, you know, in the title of the song.
In the title, I feel like, I don't know how they were doing syncs back then, but it must have just been like, oh, if we put him down in, and then also the song was written, listen, I have a lot of notes, but before we get to that, can you tell me what it is about Smooth that spoke to you enough? You were like, that's what I would like to talk about on pod.
Well, you know, I looked at the YouTube for Smooth, you know, I looked at the list that you had. And, you know, I mean, the interesting thing about Smooth is that it has 185 million views on YouTube. I think every single one of those was as a bit, as a joke.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was you.
No, not me. I think every single one was a joke. And the song, like, I feel like it is really much laughed at. Like, I feel like the song doesn't get respect.
No.
But I gotta say, having listened to the song a few times, I actually think it's good.
Oh my God, Andrew, I'm so happy that we're on the same page so early on in the pod, because I have come to the exact same conclusion after clipping it for this episode.
It's a good song.
No, but the thing is, like, it's objectively so bad, and yet it's great.
I know, like, there's something about it that I can't explain. It's just inexplainable, but I think we're both on the same page. It is
bad. It starts and you're like, you're listening to the words and like the way he's singing and this like filter they've put on it. And you're like, this is haha, this is funny. And you keep listening because you're like, I can't wait to laugh at it some more. And then by the time the chorus hits, you're like, and it's just like, Yosha, like fully in.
Fully on board with his emotional state.
Oh, I can't like, honestly, I'm okay. This is a great opportunity actually to mention the Patreon comment, because this is exactly how I feel. This is from my patron, Jack Burke. Self-isolation story. End of last week, during that day when it was 70-ish in New York, I heard Smooth playing outside, looked out the window to see a kid doing donuts on his bicycle down the middle of the street, blasting Smooth out of his backpack.
Wow.
Oh, I feel like in a way that's like emotionally exactly who I am when I listen to this song.
Yeah, it just puts you in a weird good mood. Like there's just something about it. It's infectious, you know?
I think until we can find a cure for this horrible fucking virus, like this is the closest we're going to get. It's just blasting Smooth. I think that might be like, it didn't know it when it came out in 1999, but this is what the song was written for.
The CDC is like, I guess Smooth and donuts on your bike wouldn't hurt.
Did you get that postcard from the president that was like his recommendations for how to handle like virus right now?
No, I didn't get that.
Actually, when you do get it, because I'm pretty sure it's being sent to everyone, if you look at the very bottom, kind of like a Santa Claus business card situation in like 6-point font, it does say, also highly suggest doing donuts on your bike to Smooth by Santana featuring Rob Thomas. Rob Thomas.
Wow, interesting.
Okay, I have a couple notes. Are you ready?
Yeah.
They're very exciting.
Let's hear it.
Do you have a FaceTime scheduled later, or like a Zoom, or you got some time?
I've got time, you know. I mean, I do have, I'm supposed to go to the beach in 6 months. So if we can just finish up by then.
Perfect. Okay, okay, so get this. It was the final number one on the Billboard Hot 100 of the 1990s.
Okay.
And then also the first number one of the 2000s.
Okay, so interesting. Starting, ending and starting a millennium with this song.
Right. It feels, doesn't that feel strangely like, oh, it had to be Smooth?
Yeah, it definitely fits. I mean, if The Matrix was the movie of that year, then Smooth is the song of that year.
Oh, what a horrible Venn diagram culturally we've created here. I'm going to add insult to injury and let you know that this won 3 Grammys. It won Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best Pop Collaboration with Vocals, which just seems entirely too specific, but okay.
Pop collaboration. Who won Best Pop Collaboration without Vocals is my question. Who won
it's
that
probably
one?
Like Explosions in the Sky featuring Air. I don't know.
Air is just breathing in the background.
I Googled the other people nominated thinking, you know, fully prepared to have this. Like, and can you believe who they won against? But it turns out this was a really weird time for music. It was like the Celine Dion song, You Don't Remember, and then like Backstreet Boys and like Ricky Martin. It was just like musically we were really going through it.
Yeah. I mean, we were just preparing for Y2K and just trying to see what we could do to kind of weather the storm. Was that like a hoax? I mean, there's no way experts actually thought it would be bad, right? Like, was that like an urban legend, the whole Y2K thing? I'm serious.
Okay, here's the thing. My computer recording this just overloaded, so I just started recording again. So now I'm just going to come back in from wherever it stopped into you saying, so was Y2K a hoax?
I'm just trying to understand.
Zero context provided. You're welcome. Okay, so a couple other notes I have about this song. I just think this is so interesting. Smooth was originally conceived by the person who first wrote the song. His name is, I'm going to mispronounce this, Etal Shur.
Yeah, I read all this too.
Oh, you did? Okay, great. So apparently you know about Wikipedia.com or no?
Well, no, I actually read this 10 years ago, just kind of for fun. And then I do remember. No, I read it today.
No, I actually have the CD and it is all printed in the booklet.
No, I just hit up my friend Etal and we were just chatting about it.
So he writes this song and he calls it Room 17.
Yep.
And then the Wikipedia very cryptically says the lyrics were stripped off.
And Room 17, by the way, is about like a sexual tryst in a hotel room. Just FYI.
Is that true?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
are you
yeah.
thinking of the Mark Duplass feature?
No. In the thing that I read, it talked about how the original song he wrote was about like hooking up with someone in a hotel room. And that was the room that the song was named after.
Room 17, yeah. And it's just like the bed under the fan. And it's the TV on the nightstand.
It's pretty similar to 16 and 18, but also different.
Okay, so the lyrics were stripped off and then the track was given. I don't know what Black Magic Rob Thomas is working to have lyrics stripped off and a song given to him, but he gets it. He rewrites the lyrics and melody. So at this point, I don't know what Etal wrote. I guess like a basic chord progression.
I guess just the number 17 inspired him. I think that's what we can assume.
Right. Which I think I understand because doesn't 17 seem like a really hot number to you?
Yeah, barely illegal.
Well, that's perverse. I just meant that like the combination of numbers does something for me.
No, yeah. One. No, I hear you. 1 and 7 is definitely good.
Ooh, stop. I've been quarantined too long.
You're attracted to numbers.
Shh, we're not talking about that on air. FaceTime me after. So Rob retitles it Smooth, records it as a demo to play for Santana. I certainly wish I had the background information on how Rob Thomas and Santana came into being in the same room.
Santana didn't even know who Rob Thomas was. But
is that
true? Yeah. But this whole thing with this album is that Santana was kind of an older rocker and his label was trying to get him to appeal to younger fans. And so they just basically were like, we're going to pair you with every single popular musician right now. And
didn't he also have one with Michelle Branch?
I don't know about that, but
am I remembering that correctly?
You know, he had that song with Everlast or whatever.
And no, he did?
Yeah. It was
What It's Like fame?
It's what the yeah, he had one with Michelle Branch. I'm seeing that. Into the
Game of Love. Yeah.
That one with the Everlast person. So for whatever reason on this album, the thought process was like, let's just get everyone popular to do a song with this guy that people don't really care about anymore.
I get it now. All right. So if Santana was trying to break into the younger market.
Yes, yes. And if this kid on a bike doing donuts is any indication, he has broken into even younger markets still.
Now that it's had like the all-star treatment.
Yeah, exactly.
So then, okay, now you're going to need to riddle me this, because originally Rob Thomas records it as a demo. I think more to come in as a songwriter and not a collaborator, at least vocally, because he sings the demo. And then Santana's like, nah, man, you got to actually sing this.
That's
but
correct.
Apparently Rob had George Michael in mind to sing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in the article that I was reading, he was saying that he wanted to, this was kind of his chance to prove himself as a songwriter and not as a singer. And then, yeah, he wanted George Michael, but then Santana was like, I don't know who this guy is, but I like his style. Let's let him sing the song.
Also, did George Michael have hits in 1999? I'm hard pressed to remember his relevance.
I don't think so. I just think, you know, Rob Thomas was looking to his idols and that's just where he was going.
Rob Tom, I can be Santana figure. Yeah. No way. Santana singer. Okay, we got it.
I can be Santana singer.
Okay, with all that said, are you ready to listen to the damn song?
I am. And also just to say, the song is about his wife, which is kind of beautiful. And he's still with her today.
He is. I also looked this up. I believe, I want to double check this. She's Puerto Rican.
Yeah, she's Puerto Rican from the Bronx. Okay. She's his.
Okay, so we will need that backstory, at least if we're going to try to shine any light on this, which I'm not sure we're going to.
And they're still together. And also, she's in the music video. She's the girl he lusts after in the music video.
I have to rewatch that video. Is there a boy in it doing donuts? Because otherwise, I'm not interested.
No, but there is a party in the street, which maybe inspired him.
So. The boy's just doing a one-man recreation.
Yeah, shot for shot.
Okay, here we go.
I think he's talking about the song, by the way, when he says, man, it's a hot one.
He's speaking to the two measures we just heard.
Yes, he's prefacing the whole song with just a summary of how good it is.
Or maybe like they're all recording in one room simultaneously. So he's singing to Santana, just trying to let him know casually. What you just played, man, was really good.
That first 5 seconds, though, I mean, I think it's really good. It is like iconic in a way that is emotionally impactful for me.
I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't say it's good. I would never say it's good. I just mean that like there is an effect that it has that can really only be rivaled by like maybe Bare Naked Ladies 1 week.
When I first started doing comedy in Los Angeles, I had moved here from Portland, Oregon. We're both from the Northwest, you and I. And,
oh, I know. It's one of our first bonds. How could we forget?
And there's this comedian named Jay Weingarten. He's a very funny guy. And he used to run this open mic at this weird like open mic spot in Los Angeles. And every single time that the open mic would start, he would pull names that song would be playing in the background, and it would play like four times in a row. So the opening tracks, the opening licks of that song were really reminiscent of like my early comedy
days doing open mics.
Yes.
Please pick me.
So it's very emotional for me in like kind of a sad way.
That's so sweet though. I remember that. That feeling.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not pleasant, but it is something.
No, but I think the song, like, I don't know, there's something about this song, like, made it more, like, it added to the levity of the situation that just felt like this is all silly. I don't know, I appreciated the consistency of this song.
I feel like I suddenly, like, want to drink sangria, and I don't drink.
Yeah, well, Santana and sangria, they sound similar.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. I also need to specify really fucking awful sangria, not good sangria. Oh. If it's got like fresh fruit in it, fuck your
no.
We're not doing that. I'm talking like cocktail mix and then like wine and sugar. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Doesn't it make you want? I mean, doesn't that sound delicious? Listening to that guitar riff.
I hear you. I definitely hear you in that respect. Yeah.
You're so supportive. Yeah, I definitely hear you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Miel. Sure. Yeah. Please. I know you're supposed to stay inside, but please get outside.
Honestly, I'm like so scared to listen to this back because at this point, the only person I talk to is my dog. Let's move on.
Yeah. Like 7 inches from the midday sun. Well, I hear you whispering the words. There's a lot of hot and cool stuff going on.
Rob Thomas loves a temperature. I'm taken by so many things here, but I think we have to acknowledge this like effect on his voice.
Yeah.
Are we in the bottom of the ocean? Are we scuba diving? Is this a cosplay?
I agree. I think he's just trying to sound cool.
There's also like on top of the like production effect, there's also this vocal effect he's doing of like, from the midday sun.
Yeah, there's a lot of
effect. I hear you whispering the words, melt everyone. Like, I don't know how to describe that. It's like post-punk. What is that?
Yeah, it's like there's like a post-punk affect. And then also, I think the effect on it is like, it's almost like he's speaking to us from a digital device in the future in a post-apocalyptic world. You know what I mean? Like you pick up like an old Walkman and it's like, that's the voice that comes out. It's like weirdly digital, but also analog. There's just something.
It's I love eerie. That. Oh, it's like, a Fifth Element-esque.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
I hear you totally.
Yeah.
Also, what he actually said, we have to review.
Yeah.
So far he has said, man, it's a hot one. Like 7 inches from the midday sun. You really killed it, Santana. I'm trying to let you know. You killed that.
Yeah, where is this inches? Is it inches like from the actual sun?
Yes,
or
in the middle
like,
of
is the
day.
Sun, I know, but what is this, what is 7 inches? I'm trying to understand.
I mean,
what is that referencing? I know, but I'm just.
He's got a boner for the sun, and that is what stands between him and the sun.
He's in space, and the only distance between him and the sun is his 7-inch boner.
The tip of which has long since melted off, but 7 inches away, he's okay. So he's saying it's hot outside. Great. Got
yeah,
it. I hear it. You whisper. Okay, so a little ASMR in the midday sun. I'm loving the picture. And then the words she said, melt everyone. So she's saying something that's hot. Okay.
Right.
But you stay so cool.
I think he's just mixing a lot of metaphors here. And I don't think he's on top of it yet.
No, I'm tracking this. I'm going to finally crack this song.
Please
hot
do.
Hot girl is whispering in his ear while his erection is melting in the gamma rays. And she's saying hot things to him, but she's saying them in a very cool way. So she's
it cools
like,
him off?
No, she just is really cool. She's cool chick.
Okay.
She's a cool
cat. I get it. Well, she is smooth. The whole song primarily is about her being smooth.
Yeah, you know how she's smooth? Because the next line was my muñequita. I probably didn't say that right, but that means doll in Spanish.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, last time I touched a doll, pretty smooth.
Pretty smooth. That is true. That's kind of they're famous for that.
Anytime I touch someone that's smooth, I go, just like a doll.
Yeah.
I think it's really curious that we don't have dolls with, never mind, I'm not going to say what else. Okay, I'll say it. With body hair. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew you were going there. I get it.
I just think it's 2020. What else do we have to worry about right now? Give me the dolls with hair. I want to see a doll with an untrimmed bikini line. I won't rest until we get it.
I want to have the option of shaving it if I want to.
Okay, that... Oh my God. Remember how they used to make dolls cry? What if they could have regrowable leg hair?
I mean, that sounds so
Wait, Marissa, can you bleep this? This is a great fucking idea.
Yeah, we actually do need to try to get on the line and get on Shark Tank.
Yeah. Hey, Shark Tank, are you listening? I assume everyone's listening to podcasts now. Shark Tank, we'd love to pitch you an idea. It is dolls with growable leg hair, but pretend you didn't hear it here first. My Spanish hollow.
I think you're really shitting on his love here, okay?
You're telling me that Rob Thomas sat down in the stud, he got out his legal pad, his, what is the pencil? The Timberland? No, the Timbuktu? What is the yellow pencil company called?
I
don't
no
know
one...
why I go for references that I don't have. Is
Just
it
say Timberland. The Timberland pencil works.
He pulls out his... He pulls Timbaland. Out this Timbaland pencil and he writes, my Spanish Harlem, Mona Lisa, babe, I've done it again. He has to have a quick celebratory kiss with his Spanish Harlem Mona Lisa and he furiously writes the rest of the song.
I also like that in your retelling of that situation, he got Mona and then came to Lisa. Like
no,
Mona
no, they
was
were separate. They were separate thoughts.
He got Mona.
I think it was all word association. Like he looked around and he saw like Taco Bell and he was like, Spanish. And then he like looked some more. He saw like his wife's like childhood photos and he was like, Harlem. And then he like remembered his first girlfriend. He was like, I don't know, Mona. And then like his then son the watching The Simpsons, right? He was like, Lisa. Yeah.
Okay, so that's how we got to the most famous line.
I mean, listen, I have it on good authority. I have a connect with Rob, Tom, Rami T.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, how do we feel about a white guy? I mean, I think he's white. He's pretty. He's white, right? Rob Thomas?
He's white, but his wife, who he's writing this about, is from Spanish Harlem.
It is, but how do we feel about him singing, calling her a doll in Spanish? Like, isn't that still odd, or am I being too sensitive?
No, I think you could say doll. Like, imagine that it wasn't in Spanish. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think it's okay. Also,
doesn't
he's got
feel
the
like pandering?
I mean, he's got the Santana cosign. He's got to throw a Spanish word, Spanish word in there somewhere.
You just like Mona Lisa, but if she was from Spanish Harlem.
It would be bad if like every other line he's like, man, it's a fuego one. Like if it started with that. That would be bad. I agree.
¿Cómo se dice? Muy caliente, Mona Lisa. Oh, it just kills me. It kills me in a good way. It tickles me in that like, okay, so my patron, I have to mention this. It tickled me in the exact same way this tickles me. Her name's Kirsten McNally. She sent me a dressage video. Do you know what dressage is?
Do I know what dressage is? Come on.
Horse dancing.
Yeah, I know.
At the Olympics. The routine, you're never going to believe this. It was a mashup of Smooth by Santana. And you guessed it. Bon Iver, not what I meant to say. Bon Jovi.
Okay, that was even weirder.
Holocene.
That's what I thought you were going. I was like, man, that horse has some range.
Ooh, I really dug myself into a hole here by saying something funnier than what I meant to say.
It's true.
Well, whatever, it was It's My Life by Bon Jovi. Now it's not funny. We're moving on. Hey, real quick, my reason for reason?
Yeah.
So she keeps him sane.
I guess so. I also feel like he could have said season somewhere in there because he was just talking about the weather so much.
Is she, hang on a second. Weather, Santana, reason for the season.
That's what I mean.
Is he married to Santa? Somewhere there's a cork board with a lot of red string on it. And then someone.
Yeah, we're trying to connect it all. So you're my reason for reason.
And guess what? The step in my groove. Yeah.
Oh, you really got his voice down. I like that.
I also clipped that yeah by itself. I think we need to listen to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hang on. Ask me a quick question.
Hey, Miel, are you going crazy in this whole quarantine situation? Yeah. It's like a barely audible yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know how you access that part of your throat without shotgunning raw egg.
He's doing the work, okay?
And then Santana's just starting to tickle his strings just to let us know, hey, I am hanging back because I'm a generous performer, but just so you know, I am here and I am ready to rock and roll. And if you said this life ain't good enough, I'd give my world to lift you up. I could change my life to better suit your
I mean, right off the bat, this is not how you enter a relationship, okay? You don't immediately start with, I could change my life to better suit your mood. That is not smooth. That is so needy.
Okay, speak for yourself. Someone said that to me, Niagara Falls, honey. I love it.
I just think, Carlos, I think you're co-signing a bad way to conduct yourself.
I mean, I think the beauty of Carlos's perspective here is that it's not clear if he's on board or if he's actively fighting against it.
Right, that is true.
I kind of feel like my gut tells me that we're listening to them have sex in every way other than physical, Rob and Santana.
Interesting. So the guitar is kind of like, no, Rob, you can't act like that in a relationship or whatever. Well,
or like, no, I'm the top. Like, to me, like the voice and the guitar are like really fucking us, or I guess fucking each other in our ears.
And they're both like, who can sound crazier?
Yes. No, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, they are a match made in hell.
I like that.
But like in a fun way. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, in a fun way. Yeah,
okay, so So we are gathering that he will throw away his whole life for someone that's really just smooth. They're just smooth. And I love that because
Not even throw his whole life away, but change it willy-nilly just to suit her mood. Not even based on her like logistical considerations, just like what mood she's in.
Well, I mean, the line before it, I would give my world to lift you up. He will do anything for a smooth woman. And I have to respect that.
Just the smooth thing.
Dude, okay. When you're, you know how much work it is to get that smooth? She deserves it. I think he should do that. I get it.
That's
exfoliating, steaming, oils, creams, the razor. When you want to be ooper smooth, and that is a new word I'm inventing, ooper. You got to get a new razor every stroke. One stroke, new razor. It's really impactful on the environment.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, finally, I don't know. I might need a little. Woo! Ha! Ha! Okay, you ready for the chorus?
Yes. It's just like the ocean. I love that. Forget about it.
Oh, that's a bit. Oh, let's forget about it.
Let's forget about it.
I can't tell you how much as a soundbite that plays in my head when I give someone an ultimatum.
Yeah, that's really good.
Like when you're in those initial stages of dating and you can't tell if they're serious or not, like you're telling me you don't instantly go, give me your heart, make it real, all else forget about it.
It applies to lots of situations. It's like, hey, do you want to get lunch tomorrow? Or else forget about it. It's anything casual even.
It's like, honestly, I don't think we realize generationally how much of a gift this song is. Like we all dog on it, but we wouldn't be the same without this song. Like it would have, I think Y2K would have happened.
You're right. This song might have prevented Y2K.
This song does not get enough credit for single-handedly preventing Y2K.
That is true. That is true.
We need to discuss what he said, okay? I don't know that I can handle this, okay? Whew. And okay. It's just like the ocean under the moon.
That's easy. I mean, the moon affects the ocean. Easy. Done.
Okay. Done. Next line. It's the same as the emotion that I get from you.
Yeah, her, she
so when he goes
him.
Out on his night walks over the sea, he feels the same way living his lighthouse lifestyle as he does from his girlfriend.
Oh, you know what's
the
interesting,
exact same
actually?
Feeling.
No, think about it this way. Earlier, he's talking about the heat coming from the midday sun. It's like the moon controls him at night, but during the day, she's the sun that controls him.
I think that the real thing we're ignoring here is that Rob Thomas is basically saying he's horny for the moon.
But he's also horny for the sun. I mean, this song.
You make a great point.
No, that's what I'm saying. The song is a dance between the moon and the sun.
This is a zodiac song.
Like she is the sun.
Someone is banging on a pipe outside of my window.
Oh my gosh, that is.
Oh, I know what the banging is. It's 7 p.m. It's my neighbors cheering for everyone working. Oh my God, this is so exciting. Every night at 7 p.m., everyone leans out their windows and cheers. Wait, I'm being a bad neighbor by not doing this. Vamped of the people at home. I got to clap for a second. I can't hear you. You can say anything right now.
I just hope Miel gets through this quarantine. I mean, obviously, it's affected her mental state. She's creating these fake neighbors who are pretending to bang. And now she's talking about them applauding for a mysterious group of people who I don't even think exist. It's just clear that Miel is taking this whole thing in quite a dark way. I mean, you can hear her screaming right now, and I don't think she's screaming to anyone. There's no one there. It's just her and her dog. She's actually not even in New York right now. She's in the middle of the woods. There's not a neighbor for 40 nautical miles, and they do measure it nautically. I don't know why. Ugh, I just feel bad for her. I mean, I'm doing this podcast out of pity because clearly she has lost it. I'm going to go back to it, but I just pray for Miel, everyone. Pray for Miel.
Okay. That was just one for me, I guess.
Hey.
I'm back. I can
You're back.
You.
Great.
Was that fun?
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it was fun.
Living in New York, baby.
Yep, New York.
Andrew Cuomo quietly developing a pretty real crush on him as this plays out, and I feel very bad about it.
It's conflicting.
Sorry for the brief intermission. Actually, this is a great opportunity with that to go to a quick break.
Okay, let's go.
And we're back. Have I been alone for going on 18 days? Can you tell?
Right.
That's one secret I'll never tell.
I could tell.
XOXO.
Another Spanish word. You're not going to like that.
The Spanish-speaking quarter of a town or a city.
Oh.
So she's calling him out, I'm guessing, from Spanish Harlem?
Yeah, she's the Mona Lisa of that district.
You know, I've heard that often about Rob Thomas's wife.
Me too.
She's simply the Mona Lisa of Spanish Harlem.
She is. Also, I am thinking of her during this trying time. She is immunocompromised. I did read that online.
Another reason to stay inside, you motherfuckers.
Stay inside.
Although I a little bit feel hope, maybe blind hope, that Punch Up the Jam listeners are the types who stay inside. So thanks, guys. Keep it up.
Yeah. Thank you. Keep it up.
What he said was, I'll tell you one thing. If you leave, sorry, I missed a word. Critical. If you would leave, well, it would be a crying shame.
It's also funny to say, I'll tell you one thing, and then it's something that's kind of sad and pathetic. It's like,
and also,
usually
like,
it's
I
like,
feel after the chorus, pretty obvious.
Right, I know. But usually it's like, I'll tell you one thing, I'll kick your ass if you talk to me again. But it's actually like, I'll tell you one thing, I'm about to cry.
I'll tell you one thing, if you left, I'd be so sad.
I know. That's not really, I'm telling you, he is not smooth in this. I mean, that's the whole point of it, I guess, is that he's not smooth.
Okay,
she
but
is.
You're assuming that she wanted a smooth man, but she's a top. She probably loves a sub.
You're right.
I get it.
Might be exactly, yeah. That's
and
true.
He even goes on to say, in every breath and every word, I hear your name calling me out from the barrio. Which makes it sound like he's in the barrio and she's trying to find him. Like he's hiding somewhere, like an elaborate game of sardines.
It's like find the white guy in the barrio. It's a game he's playing.
And he can't understand you. Also, I think that, I mean, obviously calling me out in 2020, I think means something very different. But I can't help but feel like she's just walking around Spanish Harlem being like, Rob still uses the R word sometimes.
She's canceling him from the barrio.
Canceled from the barrio, by the way, is about the 3 months I spent living in Spanish Harlem.
Right. And then they were like, we are not getting gentrified. Get the fuck out of here.
And I was like, I'm sorry, where's the Whole Foods? All the way down on 125th? What is this place? These are now, I'm like suddenly making New York references. What's happening
to
me?
Yeah, this is cool. Wow.
Cool as the midday sun? Wait, no. Cool as the moon? Wait, what?
Cool as the moon is the ice from, I don't know. It's just Rob Thomas's wife.
It's cool as Rob Thomas's wife is the new expression we'll all be using.
It's also kind of cool to sing like such a like lustful song about your wife.
And in a way that sounds like you're about to fight a bear, yes.
Right.
These are threatening vowel sounds. Okay. The next part.
Wait, can we just get into in every breath and every word, I hear your name calling me out?
Yeah.
So it's almost like everyone he's talking to, he just hears his wife calling his name. Like, I'm just trying to understand that a little bit.
Okay. So it's like in Harry Potter, you know, some people can hear Parseltongue and others can't. So what if Parseltongue was spoken at the same time as other words, but underneath them, kind of like Bulgarian throat singing, and only Rob Thomas can hear the underlying language, and yet it's just his wife talking. That's what it's like.
About him, calling for him.
Rob.
So it's very
Rob
self-involved.
Thomas. Rob. Rob Thomas.
Sounds a little self-involved.
Yeah, no, I'm getting that. And also, I think anyone that writes a song about how cool their wife is, presumably is like, so therefore, I'm going to speak Spanish too, because I've absorbed some of her skills.
So this is kind of like, it's almost like a honeymoon song, you know? Like this is, I wonder if he still sings smooth to her, you know?
That's what I wonder all these years later. You know what it reminds me of? It's just like the ocean.
That's a
it's
good
just
point.
Like the ocean under the moon. It's just like that.
It is just like that, actually.
If I had to describe the emotion that I get from you, it would right. be just like the ocean like the under ocean. The moon. And then he goes, are you done with your vows now?
And then he's like, this would be a sick song.
And he's like, hang on, babe, can we hold the kiss for 1 second? I got to get my moleskin.
I got to get on the top 100 for a year straight or however long it was.
I think it was like 12 weeks, an exceptional yeah. amount of time for an exceptionally weird time in our time. And I want to call it right now. We are going to have a smooth from this era. There's going
right.
to be a song that carries.
There's going to be a smooth. Yes. Yeah.
It's going to be a song that will not age well, but it's going to be because we were all in this fucked up headspace that we just needed a song that low key slapped but was pretty fucking bad. That will be our smooth. And 20 years from now, someone will have a podcast.
Right. It just made us feel happy for 3 minutes out of the miserable day.
Yeah. We need a smooth too, which is exactly why I'm excited about this episode.
Yeah. Smooth too.
Which is going to be the name of the punch up.
I want to isolate that second and round.
Round, round, round. He sounds like doing like a gentle Bill Cosby impression.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Just a whisper of Bill Cosby talking about pudding in there. He's really describing like a cosmic earthen woman here.
Right. You hear my rhythm on your radio. So she knows he's a musician. That's kind of nice.
She loves Matchbox Twin.
That's true, actually.
You feel the turning of the world so soft and slow. Is she like a sundial? What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of celestial imagery here.
Hang on 1 second. Is he trying to fuck a compass?
You Googling that right now? Is Rob Thomas yeah, trying to fuck a
Rob
compass?
Thomas fuck a compass. Wow, for the first time ever, it says zero results.
Wow,
interesting. Wait, I'm sorry. Actually, hang on. I'm getting a link to like a mail order bride website. Yeah. In 2002, he did post here seeking, man seeking compass.
Man seeking compass.
Okay, well, that was verse two. I don't feel like he really said anything I cared about, if I'm honest.
No. It's just more imagery about the bodies and celestial.
And no more smooth imagery. I feel like this is a major missed opportunity.
No,
I would love
back
for
to
verse
smooth.
Two.
Things get smooth.
Yeah, but
later.
I think like verse two, he could have been like, and no toe hair, and yeah. no finger hair, and no hair on her forehead, no peach fuzz around her nipples. Like, where is it?
That's true. That's true. And if you sell this life,
where I go
positively catatonic. Give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about it. I think if you take each word individually and go up, if you go up an octave with every word, like every word individually goes up, that does it, I think.
Do you know what? For some reason, when you do that voice, I get such a specific visual. And it's you trying to break into the ventriloquist market. But for some reason, when you're trying to not move your mouth, you're panicking and holding your breath.
Yeah. I think that's how you have to get to his state. Give me your heart. Make it real. Or else forget about it. Like every single word is individual.
I just am seeing you there in the open mic with your dummy.
Just trying
those are ventriloquist pitches. It has to be a dummy.
I'm just trying to catch a break.
Wait! Andrew, I think we cracked the song.
What is it?
The doll, the smooth.
Oh, the doll.
How she talks to him.
Oh my gosh.
It's his ventriloquist doll.
This is true. Wow. Wow.
And it wasn't until you did that voice that I finally cracked it.
And it's a code because it's in Spanish at the beginning. So most people don't know that it's about
no,
the doll.
No, what you don't realize is that Rob Thomas moonlights as a highly problematic ventriloquist artist.
Who's going to get canceled.
His doll is in Spanish.
Yeah, and he does say the R word a lot, as we already addressed.
Oh, he says the R word so much, but he thinks it's okay because he says it with like a vague Spanish accent. Where is he supposed to be from? Is it Catalan? We don't know.
And he's like, I'm not saying it. The doll is.
It's a real Arrested Development parallel. Oh my
wow,
god,
this is
I
really
clipped it. Wow. I that every time that chorus hits, I feel like I'm on steroids.
Yeah, it really gives you a boost,
guys. I highly suggest listening to this on quarantine. I think that it like it gives you a certain pick-me-up that can only be described as Fantasia adjacent. Give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about
it.
Santana! He didn't have to go this hard, but he did for us. Y2K. Goosebumps, my whole body.
I know, man. It is just like the ocean.
It's just like the ocean. You know how that scene in The Lighthouse where Robert Pattinson comes audibly to staring at the ocean? It's just like
that. It's just like that, yeah.
Also, that doesn't happen in The Lighthouse, but I am banking on enough people not having seen it to know that. So don't fact check me.
I'll say this. I watched it and I basically thought you were telling the truth. So
who knows what that movie means?
Yeah, that could have been happening.
I think the moral of the story was like men are bad, ocean's hot. That's what I gathered.
Yeah, ocean's hot, but it's also hard. Also, ocean's also tough.
Which is part of what makes it hot.
Right. And it is just like the ocean.
Just like the ocean.
It's just like the ocean.
I love how Santana's just like sleeping on that solo until minute three. I mean, he had that in him the whole time. And he was just giving us like single note stabs after Rob Thomas said something cryptic.
And for you, this is just like Santana fully dominating Rob Thomas, right? Because you're kind of talking about their sexual...
This was like, okay, so they were like face to face. I mean, they still are face to face, to be fair, but it's kind of like a lover's quarrel if we are to give this pose a name.
Sure.
And then Rob has been kind of maintaining the top with the exception of the choruses where they're kind of taking turns. And then this is the part where Santana, who was kind of letting him, he's like a power bottom, but now he's like, psych, I'm a top, baby.
Right, it turns out. Yeah.
It is, it turns out. But and like also... Imagine what his fingers can do if he can play that.
Right.
There's something innately sexual about a guitar solo. I stand by that.
No, that's true. That's true.
I refuse to explain that. You have to figure it out.
I mean, I think everyone just felt it, so I don't even think you need to explain it.
Yeah, everyone's like, wait a second. And also, actually, quick PSA.
Yeah.
A friend of the pod who has actually never been on, but just a friend of mine, Zach Descani. He reposted an article that I had already kind of like assumed was true, but I did not fact check him. So let's just say this is true. Masturbating increases, I think this can't be physically correct. I'm saying it anyway. I think masturbating emotionally increases white blood cells. And so maybe that's a good like defense mechanism. So maybe everyone should be masturbating a lot right now. I think that might help.
Right. And to get in the mood, just isolate that guitar solo and put it on loop.
You guys, actually, if you subscribe to the Patreon, I'll throw the guitar solo up on there to better suit your mood.
Yeah, just to better suit your mood. And if you're wondering, if you're feeling weird about it, it's just like the ocean and just got to roll with it.
It's the same as the emotion you're going to get from the song is the feeling when you stare at the ocean.
You might get a little seasick, and that's because it's just like the ocean.
But baby, that's what Dramamine is for. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
Forget
about it.
bass? What is the, what's happening with that bass? Santana going strong until the wee hours of the morning.
If you
they
watch
stopped
the,
recording, but he did keep tracking until 4 a.m. that night.
There's a live version of this that I watched from 1999, and it ends here, and then Santana just jams out for 3 more minutes, and then Rob...
Yeah, that sounds
and
right.
And then Rob kind of like will just throw like different words from the song's chorus into the jam.
Oh.
And it actually feels like Rob Thomas's song is fighting Santana's song. And it's really funny.
That's what I'm saying. They're struggling for sexual dominance the entire song.
If you watch the live version, it really comes to a head.
If you watch the live version, it really comes to a head.
And it's actually just like the ocean as well.
It is. And also just like the ocean is how I feel about this song. I'm afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the power it has over me. I feel helpless when I'm in it. And yet I crave it.
And yet you crave it. Right. That
and
is
it's
true.
70% of my body is made from it.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel about the song.
That's true.
It makes me giggle. It makes me scream. It makes me, I don't know. I think this is a song that I hate to love, and I do love it, sadly.
Yeah, it's just like the ocean, simply put.
I'm dying to hear what musician in residence Rob Moose, not Rob Thomas, the real Rob, number one Rob, Rob Robert Moose, has to say about this song.
The first thing I always do when preparing to record this segment is to make a chart of the song I'm going to analyze. This chart will contain the chords to the song and different structural markers like verse, chorus, bridge. When I was making the chart for Smooth, I actually had to cross out where I had written down chorus 1 because I had misidentified the section. It got me to thinking, is this song unusual in how long it takes to get to its first chorus? Not just from the start of the song, but actually the distance between the first verse and the first chorus. My perception has always been that songs are getting shorter and shorter as our attention spans head in that direction, but I wanted to be sure, so I decided to research all of the number one hits of 1999, the year this song was released. In first place, we've got J-Lo with If You Had My Love. 0 seconds. That's because she actually starts with the chorus. Second place goes to TLC, No Scrubs, 21 seconds from the first verse to the first chorus. In third, remember Cher's song, Believe, 28 seconds. Britney Spears, Baby One More Time, 31 seconds. Christina Aguilera, Genie in a Bottle, 33 seconds. Ricky Martin's Livin' La Vida Loca, 40 seconds. Based on these examples, it seems that around 30 seconds is kind of a sweet spot for pop music. And you're probably wondering now, how does Smooth stack up? The answer is, shockingly, it takes them 54 seconds to achieve the same thing. And I've got to wonder how the biggest song of the year, number one for 10 weeks, manages to move at such a snail's pace. I really hate to say this, but I think the answer is Rob Thomas. He wrote the vocal melody, and he did an excellent job of matching the pacing to the expansive structure of the song. The highest note he sings in the section is the very first one, an E. Anyone can sing this note, try it.
E.
The pre-chorus takes the verse's highest note as its first note and moves upward an entire seventh to a D above that.
D.
D is pretty good, you know? Gotta be somewhat of a singer to carry that off. The chorus goes even further, of course, and he peaks at a G.
G.
So between the highest note of the verse and the highest note of the chorus is a tenth, which is a pretty wide span for a melody.
G.
Okay, so the vocal range is rising as the sections progress, but so is the rhythmic pacing of the melody. In the verse, there are lots of gaps. He sings behind the beat and often favors a quarter note triplet. The pre-chorus sees him more directly acknowledging the feel of the song, singing more often with more urgency, and his rhythms are centered around the quarter note. In the chorus, he's singing constantly, most often on an eighth note with an insistent delivery and even some swingy rhythms starting to work their way in. In short, he's pulling out all the stops. Just when there seems to be nowhere left to go, we have the ever so satisfying drum break before the final lines of the chorus. And he's able to take a little lyrical victory lap before passing the baton to one of Santana's four guitar solos. The combination of this rhythmic evolution along with a gradually rising vocal melody, allows the song to sustain a continuous build for 1 minute and 11 seconds of consecutive vocal performance. Very rare in that era of pop music, and probably even more so today. I'm impressed.
Rob, that's why he's Rob number one.
Yeah, you know.
Rob Moose outdoes himself again in a quarantine, no less.
I mean, I hate to say it, but he was seemed like he was just like the ocean too.
If there's one way I would describe Rob, I don't know his moon sign or his sun sign. I don't know his water sign, but I do know that he's just like the ocean.
He's just like the ocean. Imagine like your girlfriend like gets a new boyfriend and you haven't met him yet, and you're like, "What is he like?" And she's like, "He's just like the ocean."
He's like the sea. No. Hang on.
No.
He's like a lake. No, it's not right either. He's like
bigger
ocean. It's the ocean.
He's just like the ocean. Have you been to the beach? Then you get it. You've met Brad.
I guess what I'm trying to say is like, I want to sail across him. I don't know. You'd have to be there. With that, I have to ask you now, do you have any concepts on how I could try to improve this, I mean, perfect song?
So I had an idea, okay?
Yes.
And it's just the title, okay?
Okay.
So the title of this song is Smooth. So maybe the title for the punched up version is just going in the different direction. And it's chunky or crunchy. Like
peanut
in the
butter.
Same, yes.
So this is a peanut butter song.
I don't know, but I just know that there's something to the smooth versus chunky dichotomy.
This is like absolutely the Kidz Bop parody, but something about me finds that very funny. It might be the 18 days of quarantine, but I am very titillated by this idea.
It's just an idea, and you can go crunchy or chunky. I try to do some research to see which one's more popular, and it's pretty even split, basically.
And it's just like the peanuts under the butter. It's the sound. I mean, it feels like it may not have legs, but I will explore it.
I mean, I like the idea, okay? At least just to put it in their heads, you know?
I mean, my main thought as like a writer here is like, how do I say so much about peanut butter knowing in advance the conceit is it's going to be chunky instead of smooth? Hey, your first verse can't even be set up. You just have to be like, Skippy Jim or look, homemade. Like, it just describes, it's like a commercial for peanut butter.
I feel bad giving you this job, so you can totally ignore it, but I had to at least say it because it is funny.
No, I'm really happy you said it, and honestly, I may take it. We'll have to find out right now.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and now for world premiere, the
smooth. Oh my god, okay. I commissioned Ian Edgerly, my frequent Vine collaborator, musician Ian Edgerly, to make a synth wave version of Smooth to prove my theory that this song simply slaps across any genre. Oh God, I'm excited.
Everyone.
It was simultaneously smooth and just like the ocean. And I think right. if that's been accomplished, what else is there to say other than...
That's really...
No, you go. I have a good transition. I'm waiting.
I was just... I don't even remember anymore. It's your turn.
Let's go to Punchable Jams.
Can't punch this.
Listen, when you see a great segue in a Skype without video telepodcast, you have to take it.
No, I mean, honestly, I think this has gone okay. You know, the whole Skype thing. Like, I feel like I'm there with you in a certain way.
Oh, no, Andrew, I'm having so much fun. Okay, I can't believe good. It's taken this long to have you on as a guest.
No, it's okay. And, you know, like the people listening don't know this, but I was supposed to be doing this with you tomorrow in person in New
real
York.
Life. I know.
And my whole trip got canceled, obviously. I don't really know why. No one told me, but just for some reason it got canceled.
I heard it's Y2K too.
Yeah, it's Y2K. K2. So,
why 4K?
You know, I'm happy to at least be doing this with you, you know, over the internet.
And also, if I can get a little sappy for a second, I believe you were one, like, you were definitely one in my first 10 friends I made when I, like, kind of got into comedy.
Oh, yeah.
In the non-internet space, you definitely were, like, maybe even, like, in the first 5 friends I made in the traditional comedy space.
Right.
So, like,
and then,
we go back.
Yeah, we go back, you know, and...
I've seen you perform in Portland and LA.
Yeah, I remember that. You and your brother came, and your friend, I think, too, right?
I brought a whole crew of people to see you because I am a supportive person.
That was so nice of you, and, you know, it's been great being friends with you, and, you know, I'm sad you're in New York, but... at least,
but you respect it.
We're
and
here.
Cool
I do respect it. I think you're cool for it. Yeah.
Yes. That's and also, the whole reason I moved.
I get a little tour of New York every day on your Instagram back in the non-quarantine world because you walk around and it's just nice. You know?
I love it. I'm so excited. That's like the thing. I've started a list and I highly recommend people at home do this of post-COVID dreams.
Aww.
Every time I have, like, I get excited about something I want to do instead of focusing on how I can't do it and getting sad, I just write it down. So I'm just making like a really fun, very tame bucket list. Highly suggest it, but top of that list or near top of that list, other than see my friends, family, and loved ones, is to just be able to walk around again aimlessly because it's the best. I mean, I personally think it's the best thing.
Yeah, no, but you do it a lot. Yeah,
I'm obsessed with it. Are you kidding? I'm obsessed with it. Not as obsessed as I'm about to be. Get this with whatever song you brought in, Andrew. What's your Unpunchable Jam?
My Unpunchable Jam is Motion Sickness by Phoebe Bridgers.
Made it an Unpunchable Jam before, but there's no problem.
Oh,
doing
really?
It
I was gonna.
It's a great fucking song.
I was gonna try and look up to see if I could figure out a list of all your Unpunchable Jams, so I didn't double up.
No, that's okay. I'm not. I have no issue with it. It's a fantastic song. What do you like about it?
I just think it's really. I traditionally like female vocalists for whatever reason. I gravitate towards listening to female vocalists. And
you're one of the good ones.
I'm one of the good. I'm an ally. And I don't know. The song is just very emotional. And I don't know. I think that whole album that she made is really good. And
have you heard her new single, too?
I haven't, actually. I've heard
Garden
have you heard,
Song. It's really good.
Is it good? Have you heard her album with her boy toy?
Connor Oberst of Bright Eyes fame. We can name him. No, I haven't. But I love that she writes in such like a honest way. It seems like there's very little between the truth and the writing, and that's really hard to do.
Yeah, you should look up Better Oblivion Community Center. It's her band with Connor, and they have a whole album that came out, and it's really good. I just listened to it. I guess it came out last year, but I didn't discover it until like a month ago. And
okay, so you're basically
good.
Giving us an Unpunchable album then. Sneaky how you
I don't even
that.
Think no, the song is better than their whole album, but I just think if you like her and him, you should listen to it. But no.
Okay.
Motion Sickness. And I'll say what has motion?
The ocean.
The ocean, yeah.
Oh my God, this is why you're a podcast host. You get it.
It's true.
I love this for us. I also need to check that the song I'm about to name, I haven't already put on here because I'm losing my mind. No, I have it. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready for my Unpunchable Jam?
Let's hear it.
Okay, so I've been suggesting a lot of upbeat pop tunes. I personally think that's what's going to get us through this is like dance pop. For some reason, it's really hard to be super sad when you're listening to dance pop, even if you don't like it in the traditional sense.
Sure, sure.
But I also wanted to be respectful to people that are going through horrific shit right now. And so I wanted to give you a song if you kind of wanted to be a little slower, a little sadder, that would be perfect for that. Also, maybe like a bit of an antidote to Smooth, if it got you too excited, come back down with September Song by Agnes Obel. God, it's so beautiful. It sounds like a song you've always known. There's something really physically transformative about it. I did put it on a playlist recently for the Patreon, so sorry if you are a patron and you're hearing about it again, but I'm so excited about this song, and I think if you need like a calm moment, it's perfect for that.
Yeah, I don't know. What's the name of the song?
September Song.
Okay, September Song. I'm gonna listen to that as soon as we're done.
Oh, it's so calming. Oof. It's also like great sleep music. It's also great bath music. So many things you could do with this song.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Andrew, thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh, it was great. You know, I was so sad to have to cancel my trip and not see you and not get to do this and not to get to go get vegan food together. But I hope
Oh my God, I know. A nice substitute. Moon.
Yeah, we were going to go to that place.
I miss it. Okay, well, let's like everybody stay inside so this we'll stop the curve and then we can go back out sooner. Thank you.
Yeah, I will come to New York when the world allows it, and I will see you then.
Yes. Is there anything you want to promote? Obviously, you have your podcast About Outside.
Check out my podcast. It's actually a good time to listen to it because the show is me and my friend Cole Hirsch, who's also a friend of yours. We just interview strangers on the street.
Don't speak for my friends.
Well, I mean, I think I met you guys both at the same time.
We've had a huge falling out.
Oh, my God. Well, in any case, listen to my side of the podcast.
No, I'm kidding. Cole rules.
No, I know. But the show is just me and Cole interviewing strangers on the street. And, it's recorded in a different world when you could talk to a new person and not feel like they're going to kill you with their virus. So I think it's a good podcast to listen to during our times because it is going back to an old world where you can just talk to random strangers and not feel scared. So check that out.
I want to be where the people are.
Exactly. And then I have stand up on my Instagram and Twitter. I have stand up and jokes and all that stuff. So check me out.
And you also have a really cute dog. It's worth a follow.
Oh, his name is Bluetooth.
Maybe that will be what we post as the picture for this episode because I don't know how I'm going to handle the Instagram for these.
Well, if you need any picture for me, let me know.
Perfect. If you want to check me out, I'm at Meow Meow Monster. The show's at Punch Up the Jam. You can subscribe to us on Patreon and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Okay, that was
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Hey!
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.